Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it to a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from one from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Give it up for James. Yeah, we usually don't clap for the person who does the scripture reading, but I'll do it for James. All right. So just keep on praying for our youth, you know. James, he's part of our youth group, and, you know, God is doing a work in our youth group. And thank you so much for praying. Thank you so much for praying for me. And it's been a great time. So, yes, thank you so much. If you haven't opened your Bibles yet, yes, we are going through Psalm 84, so please do so. And we're going to go through God's Word this morning. So, since I was a child, I loved going to the CNE. Who here loves going to the CNE? So, I love the busyness, which is probably why you don't like it. I love the smell of different foods, the city smell, the concrete, and the barbecue corn. I love that. And I've been going to the CNE for as long as I can remember. It didn't matter who I was with. It was always a special moment for me. And the same goes with Clifton Hill at Niagara Falls. Who likes going to Clifton Hill and wasting all your money? So I love the sights, the sounds, the fun. It's definitely a tourist trap and a trap for people who are not tourists, you know, because it's overpriced. But I've been going there since I've been a kid. It was actually the first place where, when I was a kid, we stayed over for overnight at a hotel, and it was a great time. It's always been a fun time. So those two places, I would say, are probably my most favorite places to go in Ontario, and it brings me back to my childhood. That's why I love it. When times were simpler, without the burdens of adulthood. But now, as a 34-year-old, these places are still special to me, but being married to Fiona, that's my wife over there, has changed how I view every place now. For me, wherever we go together, it is a special moment. As a married man going home after a long day of work to be with her, to spend time with her, this is special to me. And sometimes I just long for that all day, to go home and be with my wife. I walk through the door, I see her there. Even though these places are special to me, that I just mentioned, her being there now makes it much better, because she is my best friend, she's my wife. And brothers and sisters, this is the feeling and the experience behind Psalm 84 this morning. Where God is changes everything. The location is important, it is important. But God being present changes everything. God's people want to be where God is. This changes everything from how we sing, from how we listen, how we serve. Brothers and sisters, if the service and participation in church life is not founded in what Psalm 84 is shouting to us this morning, something is wrong. What we know about God and how we feel about Him, it changes how we serve and how we worship Him. Now, I use the word feel on purpose, and I will dig more into that soon. But you need to know this before I go further. At Forward, we have a lot going on here at this church. God has blessed us with an abundance of opportunities to serve Him. to serve each other, to serve this community outside of this building. But if we don't do it for God, if we don't do it because we are driven by our love for Him, by love for His church, for Forward Here, we miss out on the blessings of joy. We cannot truly worship and joy if we don't know Him. And this psalm this morning is a fire hydrant of truth. How you respond to Him matters. And it's founded on who God is, how you feel about him, how you respond to Him, and therefore, how does He work in your life because of that? Yes, it is a fire hydrant. We cannot read this psalm and walk away without wondering, who is God and how do I respond to who that God is? So the main idea this morning for our psalm is simply this, and if you have the sermon outline, there's fill in the blanks that you can do there. So the main idea is simply this. Blessed are those who long for God Himself and where He dwells. Blessed are those who long for God Himself and where He dwells. So we don't long for God for money, fame, or a good reputation, but we long for God for Himself and where He dwells. So in most of your Bibles, you will see this small intro before the verses. And it says this. It says, "For the director of music, according to Gittith, of the sons of Korah, a psalm." So the story of the sons of Korah goes all the way back to Numbers 16. They come from a lineage of rebellion, unfortunately, and God continued to use this lineage to serve Him. And hundreds of years later, during King David's rule, they are simply directors of music in the temple. The temple is their dwelling place, and the temple is the dwelling place of God. Since the event of Numbers, and even before that, God has dwelt among His people in the tabernacle, a large tent, and then eventually a large temple in Jerusalem. So the attitude that we see this morning from this psalmist, it comes from real experience of being in God's presence, of seeing God's people coming to serve, worship, and sacrifice to their God. The way this psalm is written and expressed is important for every person in this room today. Not just how we express ourselves in worship, but how do you express with your words about how you know God? And that really matters. So this morning I have 3 points for you. And you'll see on your sermon outlines if you have that. So our first point is this. All of creation longs for God. All of creation longs for God. Now when I say all creation, this is not dismissing the reality that there are many who not only reject God, but dishonor Him, disregard Him, hate Him. That is a reality that we live in. It's a sad reality that we live in. Who here watches the Olympics? Olympic lovers, sports lovers, right? This past week, we saw some just really blasphemous demonstrations mocking the Last Supper, and it just broke my heart. Like, what is happening? The world has lost its fear, its reverence for Jesus, for millions to see. The world hates Him. But even still, the truth remains. This is the reality we are surrounded by. Nevertheless, the reality remains true that all creation around us, so that means humans, animals, nature, whatever is created by His hands, by God's hands, longs for God, longs for justice, longs for His presence. So let's start in verse 1 to 3, and I'll read that for you. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. First, we see in verse 1, we see the psalmist starts with God's dwelling place. He starts by addressing God as Lord Almighty, or in the ESV, Lord of Hosts. An important name of God, actually. Jehovah Saba. In the Hebrew, Saba, meaning the Lord, our warrior. So we are not just addressing our Creator and Lord, but our warrior God, the God of armies, of battle and strength. Who God is matters. And where God dwells matters. His holy temple, it is beloved. How lovely is your dwelling place, Jehovah Saba. But why that name? Why that name specifically? You will see throughout this psalm this morning that God is a shield. God's people go through certain levels of trials on their pilgrimage 3 times a year just to get to God's temple. Through all types of terrain and wild deserts and possibly even enemies, God is their warrior. God is their protection. We need to know that this temple belongs to God. It is for God and for His people to come to 3 times a year, to sacrifice to Him, to serve Him, to give Him praise and glory. And these sons of Korah, the psalmist in this specific psalm, for decades they have seen this happen. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. And in verse 2, the psalmist gets very descriptive in a way that might seem uncomfortable for some of us. But we need to talk about this morning. Listen, for those who know me, I'm pretty expressive, depending on the situation, of course. In fact, I used to get a lot more expressive in my worship. As the years have gone by, I've become more conservative in my expressions during worship. In fact, in the church that I got saved at, it was me and 2 other guys. We used to be in the front row, hands up, the whole time. And the church used to come up to us and like, hey, it's the Holy Ghost Rollers. I was like, I don't know how I feel about that name. But we were just into the worship. We just loved worshiping God. We loved being expressive. But it is far from being stoic and stone-faced. Here's the reality for some of you today. That is where you're at. That's where you're at. When it comes to expressing your relationship with God or worship outwardly, it's stoic and it's stone-faced. Is that wrong or bad? I don't believe so. However, I do believe that what the psalmist is doing here is a way to challenge us. I don't believe it's his intention, but it is enough to address this subject. How we feel about God, based on a foundation that is built on sound doctrine, sound theology, matters. How we feel about God matters. I'm going to read verse 2 for you again. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The psalmist, his soul, his very existence, his inner being, yearns, faints for God's dwelling place, for the courts of Yahweh our Lord. His inner being, his identity, is consumed with being complete. This is what it means to yearn and to faint for the courts of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, can we say that this morning? Can we say that? That we yearn and we faint? Does this encourage us? Does this spur us on? Does it excite us? Maybe the psalmist was a Pentecostal. Nope, probably not. I don't think so. Here's the thing. God loves us all for who we are, no matter what personality we come with. But how we feel, again, when I say feel, I don't mean a worldly, driven, up and down, subjective feel. I mean driven and directed by God, His Word, His teachings, His presence. How we feel about God should have some sort of effect on us that is different than getting ready for the next sports game or concert or vacation or hobby or even just simply hunger for food itself. Do you hunger for God? Do you hunger for God? The psalmist says, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." The ESV says, "Sing for joy to the living God." His soul, heart, flesh, his entire existence cries out for the living God. Not the taking a nap upstairs, big guy, grandpa God. No, the living God. He is real. He is alive. He is with us right now. He is active. He is moving. He is doing a work that we cannot see, and He is doing a work that we can surely see here at Forward. So be encouraged by that, church. He is alive. I had to really think about this week. It took me a couple hours. And I want to take a moment to address what this means here. To cry out, to sing for joy. I'm a Baptist, if you didn't know. And I think most of us here are Baptists. For some of you, that matters. And for some of you, that doesn't matter. The last time I cried out for anything was this past Tuesday when Vladdy Guerrero hit a home run. And that was at a Blue Jays game. That's the last time I cried out for something. But what does cry out mean? To cry out. I want to simply say this and then we will move on. So I don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Dutch Reformed, Mennonite, Methodist. Your expressive worship, whatever it may be, here with us on a Sunday morning, needs to be founded on this: order and truth. Order and truth. It is not founded on how I feel in a worldly sense. Like I said, when I say how you feel about God, it's built on a strong foundation. Our worship is not built on a foundation of feelings that come and go and I have no control of it. No, it is built on order and truth. And this is founded in Scripture and in how we love each other. Where you stand on this matter, how we worship God outwardly and how we express ourselves, it must be done to build up the body of Christ, the church, in an orderly fashion, not to distract, but to give God the glory and honor, which is founded on truth, on who He is. Scripture, God's revelation to us. So please, brothers and sisters, please wave your hands and sing, but in a way to love your brothers and sisters around you. And for those who don't do that, don't judge. Fix your eyes on the truth of the words we sing and not on what we think is the best way to wave your hands or not. Same way with those who raise their hands and sing aloud. Don't judge those who don't. I address this topic because it's here. The psalmist isn't addressing it intentionally, like I said, but I can't read, cry out, and sing for joy and not address this. This is a real topic in the wide evangelical church. It is divisive if the topic we talk about is not to build up and be strengthened by Scripture, to love brothers and sisters who desire to have unity. Otherwise, we're just being combative, angry, and annoyed by these topics that are divisive. And we don't want that. We need unity. But our unity is built up by God's word and by love for those who love God for who God is. Let's move on. Verse 3. Even birds and sparrows find their home where God dwells, for rest, for their family and upbringing, all near the altar of God. All of creation longs to be where God dwells. Not just the psalmist or God's people, but animals. It says the sparrow here and the swallow. You need to know this throughout this sermon. Where he dwells doesn't matter as much as who he is. Where he dwells doesn't matter as much as who he is. But he dwells in his holy temple, and creation wants to be where he is. The psalmist says in verse 3, Lord Almighty, my God, my King, and my God. Meaning when we look at the Hebrew, it says, he is Jehovah, he is Elohim. These names are familiar to some of us and to some not so familiar. But this psalmist is giving us these names of God not to show off his theology or how smart he is, but to show us that this God is real. He is alive. He is active. He has a name. And his name, he has many names that represents how he loves his people and his many attributes. And because you can know him and you can long for him and you can dwell where he dwells. Remember our main idea this morning. Blessed are those who long for God himself and where he dwells. On to our second point. Our second point is this. It is a blessing to be with God and seek him. It is a blessing to be with God and seek him. Verse 4 to verse 9. I'll read that for you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on your shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. So the sons of Korah, who literally dwell in God's house, blessed are they, because they are ever praising God. What a beautiful picture of eternity that these men receive. They praise him continually, on and on. It is a lifestyle that goes around and around. That's literally all they're doing. Praising God all day. It never ends. The emphasis isn't on the place, on the temple, but on the God who dwells there. Because he dwells there, this is the result. Ever praising him. Ever praising. Boasting in him, who he is, what he has done, what he will do. Of course, we see this all throughout this psalm, that they want to go to this dwelling place, the temple. But if God isn't there, then this psalm wouldn't be the same. And again, I must say, this is more than action, going to God's temple for God's people, but the moving of their mouths, words, boasting, praising, meaning using our mouth. It is more than actions. The focus here is not just action, but verbal. There's praising happening. Who do you say that God is? How do you praise him? A question we must ask ourselves this morning. Verse 5. It says, our power, might, and status are found in God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in God. This is what being in God's dwelling place, in his presence brings. And the strength that only God can give leads us to this part here. It says, whose hearts are on pilgrimage. As I mentioned before, God's people, Israel, three times a year, would make a journey to Jerusalem, to God's temple, through many hard obstacles, different obstacles. I like how the ESV says it here. It says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion." There's that word again, heart. Your inner being, your identity. If God is your strength, it will lead you to God's dwelling place, His temple, a highway to Zion. And verse 6 and 7 is pretty descriptive about what that journey will look like. God's people go through the valley of Baca. Now, there isn't a record of what or where that is, or if this was even a real place. But what it represents is important this morning. It represents drought, dry, hunger, no water. God's people go through this valley, and by God's strength, they make this valley into a place of springs and pools of rain, from dry to wet, from death to life. This fact of strength in God's people is emphasized in verse 7. Those who find their strength in God continue to find strength from Him. It says from strength to strength, in order to appear before God in His dwelling place, His temple in Zion. This is the goal, my friends. The goal is to be with God in His dwelling place, to dwell with Him. This is what drives God's people. This is what drives the psalmist in all that he does. This is what God does to the life of the believer. He turns drought into springs, dryness into pools of rain. There is no comparison to this God, who He is and what He does. And not only that, but there is no comparison to how He transforms the life of the believer. I often tell our youth here at Ford, I'm not here to convert or for behavior modification. I'm here to see transformation, to see God transform their lives. I'm just a broken shepherd doing the best that I can. But God is in the business of transformation that lasts forever, literally. Not just a moment in life, not a spiritual high, but forever. And this is a picture for us this morning. It is a blessing to be with God, to seek Him. Blessed are those who long for God Himself and where He dwells. And in verse 8 and 9, we see the psalmist crying out to God, seeking Him. We see these words in these two verses. Hear my prayer. Listen to me. Look on your shield. Look with favor. The psalmist doesn't just long to be with God in His dwelling place where God dwells, but for God to listen and to look on them and their King. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. This refers to the King of Israel. So whether it be David or Solomon, it is not clear. But here is the emphasis for us this morning. God hears and He listens. And we speak to a real God who is living and who has a name. He is Yahweh God. And not only is He real, but He is a God of His people. It says here, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. And God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 15 that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky. And Jacob is a product of that promise. This God we worship, He is a real person with a real people, a people of faith. And this awesome promise is made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For those who put their faith this morning in Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, you are God's people. This promise to Abraham, lived out by Jacob and onwards, it is finally realized and seen for its true beauty in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we put our faith in him, his life, and his work, we will be a part of the people of faith. Praise God for this fact this morning, that we can be a part of the people of faith. The God of Jacob. God is active. He's an active God. He hears, he listens, he looks, he gives favor to his people, to those he has put into power and trust in him. God is not the big guy upstairs taking a nap, waiting for us to respond. No. He is alive. He is active. Praise God for this. Blessed are we, church, this morning, because this is real for us in this church. We are a people of faith. Now, our third and final point. There is nothing and no place better than where God dwells. There is nothing and no place better than God's dwelling place. Straight up and simple. As we have seen so far in this psalm, the psalmist is very expressive, saying things like, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is not an exaggeration. This is real desperation, real desperation. And in verse 10 and 12 we see, and I'll read that for you. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So even with that Matt Redman song that we sang this morning, great song. It's a great song. I don't think still that we can fully grasp the feeling of verse 10 without much pondering and prayer. God's people would rather one day and the lowest job in God's house than to live 1,000 years on earth with all its temporal treasures with the wicked. This is a powerful statement, brothers and sisters. It's powerful. Take a moment and really feel the emphasis of that. It's not on the occupation, but on God and where he is. Bring me where God is. I want to be where God is. Let me work like a dog in God's house. And even a lowly task like a doorkeeper is the greatest because I get to be where God is. Do we have that mindset this morning, brothers and sisters? Do we have that mindset? Would we give it all up just to be with God? How hard are we working to store up treasures on earth? How hard are we working for that? How hard are we working for momentary pleasures and joys for ourselves, for our children? How hard are you working for that right now? Do you look down on those who work hard, who do jobs that you would never do? Some commentators use the word janitor instead of doorkeeper. Now, our church, we are blessed to have two amazing janitors, Ron and Paul. We couldn't keep doing what we're doing here without them. But to the worldly minded, that is a low job. That's not racking in the cash. That's not bringing in the glory and honor we want. The psalmist is challenging our priorities here. God, serving him where he dwells, is better than this earth and the sinners who dwell in it. Does this mean we look down on those who reject God? No. But do we live as though there is no difference between us? Do we live as though there is no clear separation between those who reject God and those who love him? Do we live that way in the world? Are you afraid of being outcasted, put to shame, or pushed aside for the sake of peace and popularity? May this never define who we are, cowardice, but bravery and boldness with kindness and gentleness for all of us. Be encouraged, my friends. God is better than this world and what it has to offer, straight up and down. There's no conversation. But it's a real struggle for all of us in this room today, including myself. Verse 11. He gives us light, life, protection. He gives favor and honor. He gives these in all in a better way than the world could ever give it. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. The righteous, those who follow God and worship him, he will not withhold blessings. He will not withhold his presence, his dwelling place, from those who love him. Praise God for that truth. So encouraging. The promise is not wealth, cars, owning land, or owning a house, having your own company. No, that is not the promise. The promise for those who walk blamelessly because of the strength of God, you get God. You get God. Does that excite you? Do you give God praise and glory for this? Right? These are questions we need to ask ourselves when we read these really explicit Psalms. Verse 12. Ultimately, those who trust in God, they are blessed. They are blessed. That is the summary. They will receive good. They will receive all that God has to offer, primarily himself and his dwelling place. This is what we long for. We trust in the Lord Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, the Lord of hosts, the creator of heaven and earth. These are not all separate gods. This is all one God that I'm talking about. Praise God. Praise God for this psalm. So rich with truth. Like I said in the beginning, it's a fire hydrant. There's so much expression. Praise God for his word for us this morning. Now, for you sitting here in 2024, Jerusalem is nowhere near, and there is no temple. So where can we go to experience his presence? Is there somewhere on earth that God has his presence more than another place? The answer is no. You won't find it in Israel, and you won't find it at Mecca. How about this building? Can you find it here more than any other place on earth? I know it's often a part of our Christian culture to call a church building God's house, but this is not an accurate description. In fact, brothers and sisters, it can be a dangerous description. It's dangerous because of the pressure and weight that we put on people. Something that is not explicitly found in Scripture. I know Mormonism isn't a big deal in Toronto, but if you've ever been to Brampton, they have a huge temple there. Huge, with a huge golden statue on the top of the building, which is off limits to people like us. Evangelical, born-again Christians. If you are not a Mormon, it is off limits because this is God's sacred temple. His presence dwells there and only there, unless you're a Mormon. They do their marriages there. They baptize people on behalf of their dead relatives who have died without being baptized. They do sealings there where you receive the seal of eternity. This is why weddings happen there, because they seal you and your spouse into eternity forever. Of course, we don't believe that marriage will exist in heaven because Jesus said so explicitly. And of course, we don't believe in Mormonism because it is a false gospel. It is a perversion of biblical Christianity. But when a new Mormon temple opens up, usually in the USA, more than anywhere else in the world, they have an open house for each and every person to come, and they get a tour of the temple. You walk around, go upstairs, you can touch everything. But before they open it for their religious rituals, they close it and they cleanse everything. They wipe it all down. They clean it of all uncleanliness. And then they reopen it to only Mormons. They would call that God's house. Now listen. Here's the truth. I've been to evangelical churches as a stranger where they would say, "Hey, this is God's house. Take off your hat. Or don't come back again until you dress differently." And they have no idea if I'm Christian or not. But because it's God's house, you must do this in order to enter. And that's why I say it's dangerous. It's dangerous because we now make this building sacred. But this is not the biblical stance at all, brothers and sisters. Does this mean we don't take care of this building or see it as precious? No. We are called to be faithful stewards of all that God has given us. And you don't need me to tell you how blessed we are to have this big building in a city like this, where church buildings are being sold, torn down, turning from church buildings to Hindu temples and mosques. All over Toronto, this is happening. But even still, this is still a building. So I will ask you again, where can we go to find this presence of God? Sit back and listen to the words of the New Testament, in the words of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 22 to 23, this is what Jesus says. Well, this is how it starts. "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, 'But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus replied, 'Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them.'" In the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." And lastly, in the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Amen. Brothers and sisters, the temple of God does not exist anymore as a physical stone brick building. Jesus himself prophesied that the destruction of the temple in Luke 21, he prophesied that it's going to be destroyed, and indeed, it was destroyed. But based on these scriptures that I just shared with you this morning, by grace, through faith in Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of salvation from the wrath of God, you will receive the Holy Spirit of God, who will dwell in you, sanctify you, make you holy, set you apart for the day of Christ, his return. Therefore, meaning, if you are a Christian here today, you are that temple. You are that temple. You are God's temple. That is a powerful truth, a sobering truth. We as a people without the building, we as Christians together, we represent now that holy temple of God. So my friends, if this is true, and it is, how beautiful is it when we gather? When we spend time together in worship, in serving, and building one another up. This is the call to us now. And we await the life to come now, where we will dwell with our Savior in eternity in heaven. So, if you love going to the Rogers Center for a game or see any, all great places, I really do believe that who you are with makes all the difference. It really does. My wife has changed my life, and everywhere we go, it is more special because we are together. How infinitely greater is this fact when we ponder on the reality of God's presence, His Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and being among us now, how then should we live our lives? Ask questions to yourselves like, how is your heart? How do we express that to others? It is a challenge. But be encouraged this morning. This is why God gives us strength. Like verse 7 of Psalm 84 says, from strength to strength, till each appear before God in Zion. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. May your word not just be a, may it be a challenge and a comfort to us, Father. When we read things that challenge our worldview or challenge the way we live our lives, Lord, may we be challenged and then spurred on to live our lives for you. Father, I pray for each and every person in this room, for those who don't believe in you, that you would draw them to yourself to have faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And for those who believe in you, that you would mature them, grow them in the faith, and that we would be united in the way that we show, express ourselves and worship you in all of our differences. And Lord, bless our time right now as we remember what you did for us on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.